Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hello, I'm Pete Strauss, and welcome to this week's episode of The Mediaverse. Every week, we try and sometimes succeed to answer the biggest questions facing the media industry today. This week, we'll be asking, drumroll please, should broadcasters bother with online content? To help me answer this question, I've searched high and wide, trawled endlessly through the Mediaverse, I've begged, I've borrowed, and I've stolen. And I've managed to track down two of the finest minds in the industry today. They're innovators, they're thought leaders, they're that absolute authority in all things media. It's senior producer Tom Payne.
Thanks, Pete.
And social media manager Elliot Gonzalez.
That's introduction. Thanks, Pete. That is the greatest intro I've ever had in my life.
I want these to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Okay. I mean, you started pretty high already.
I've set the bar really high, haven't I? Before we move on to our main topic and try and answer our question, we are going to briefly touch on, I don't know if you guys have heard of Brexit.
I saw a couple of tweets about it.
A couple of people don't seem to have very strong opinions on it.
I've barely spoken about it on social media at all.
So we are just going to briefly, what effect do we think Brexit will have on the media is a pressing question that many people are asking at the moment. So, how do we feel? What do we think is going to happen?
I guess nothing huge in the short term.
No.
But I mean, I think the main worry people have in the short term is the strength of the pound. Investing in content is a hell of a gamble as it is. As a foreign investor, would you gamble on British productions right now? I guess that's the first.
I think share prices is a big thing. That's why ITV dropped their share prices and Sky.
Yeah, 19%.
That's just a knee-jerk reaction. Like now, the pound is back up to where it was in February, so actually I think it's you know, until it all kicks in about sort of 2.5 years time.
Everything is 2-3 years before we actually officially, because it's quite an intricately connected thing, so it's 2-3 years before we actually cut off. So in those 2-3 years, probably not going to see too much of a change. But the worry is that people want, like, because it's so uncertain, no one knows what's going to happen. Yeah. In commissioning, TVs often gets criticised for not being particularly risky or innovative. Mm. Now they're going to want absolute bankers. The chances of something new, original and innovative getting commissioned are lower than ever, in theory. Mm.
And freedom of movement of talent as well, in terms of people who work in the industry in production, post-production. If I was a German editor, would I want to come over here and risk trying to build a career over here when you might just get turf back out again in 2 years' time? I don't know.
It's a really good guess because we're so... It's uncharted water. So
no one knows
exactly what it's going to have. I think it's David Abraham, Channel 4, had a Channel 4, which is saying, we've got a plan in place, like everyone's, but like, do they?
The government don't have a plan, so Channel 4 have a plan?
Based on what?
Yeah, what have you planned for? We don't know what, because there's various like manifestations of it, so we could pretty much almost be a part of it and still have freedom of movement and still access to the single market like the deal Norway have, or completely all the walls up, cut off. We've got no idea what to plan for. So when he said that, I was like, how do you know?
I'm glad someone knows what's going to happen because I haven't got a clue.
I don't think anyone does. I think that's part of the concern. So moving swiftly on, should broadcasters bother with online content is today's question. This is sparked actually because there was a panel with the head of All Four, Richard Davidson Houston, the BBC Director of Product and Systems, Nilay Patel, and they clashed with Paul Karanik of ITV about the merits of original online commissions. So, should broadcasters bother with online content?
I think with like original online commissions, talk about things like the Rack Pack on BBC Two. Did you watch that? The drama based on snooker. And that was on iPlayer first, and then it moved to BBC Two. Now, for me, I don't really understand why they're doing that. It feels like more like they're making a statement to the industry, being like, "I know we know online exists. We've got to do what Netflix do, but Netflix don't have a TV channel.
Yeah.
If they did, then they probably would split the content. So I feel for me, an iPlayer first drama that's going to go on BBC Two in 2 weeks' time is a bit pointless.
One of the reasons they might do it is that they found that when they release episodes like First Look on ITV Hub or BBC iPlayer, is that people are infinitely more likely to share it. And I don't know if that's because you can copy a link into your Facebook, copy a link into your Twitter. It's just a tab open.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that might be part of the reason they do it. But
I think my worry is they probably do have a strategy, but it does feel like they're slightly just throwing things at a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
And finding out what's going to stick, which is fine, but it seems to have taken them quite a while to figure out what's going to stick.
The first thing that iPlayer did was Peter Kay's Car Share.
Yeah.
They put all six episodes on iPlayer. It did like 2.1 million, like ridiculously well.
Yeah.
And that's won all the awards for best comedy in the last year. Did really well when it was on TV as well. So I think that's kind of worked. But since then, they haven't done the same. And then the drama, Living in the Dead, they launched that last week, I think last Friday before. All six episodes on iPlayer.
Yeah.
And then from this week, it's going to be 1 week on TV.
Okay.
So it feels like they're still doing two things. I think leave it online or leave it on TV. Don't try and do two.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, why launch it on iPlayer and then 2 weeks later launch it 1 week on TV?
It feels like the same problem that the advertising industry's had with content. They make an ad and put it on all platforms, assuming it's all going to work.
Yeah.
And the kind of the broadcasters are essentially doing the same thing. They're making a piece of content, putting it on all platforms, assuming it'll work, but they're not thinking maybe what's right for the platform, what's right for the viewers in the same way.
What's right for the show? Like, why that show out of all the shows? Why is that the one that's gotten all six episodes in one go on iPlayer and not sort of like, you know, like 13, for example, which should have been, it's BBC Three, should have been all episodes in one time.
Yeah, I mean, because...
And they didn't.
As a company, we make lots of short form content for different platforms, and we approach making it in different ways depending on the platform, because you respond to our audiences and you can look at the analytics and stuff like that. So it's just a bit of an odd one. Like, so if you go like, so should content ever be known as online only or digital only, or should it be able to cross platforms? Is that difficult if you consider you're making it for iPlayer and then?
I don't think those words mean anything to the regular viewer. Like when BBC Three moved online, the amount of tweets that I got being like, oh, where's BBC Three now? Can I watch it on iPlayer? Can I watch it through my smart TV? It's like, yeah, you can. Like, that's what it is. I think we know it inside out. But the regular viewer won't know what online first or digital first is. If they come across a show on iPlayer, they probably don't know if that came from TV, if that's online only. Like,
they don't understand the distinction.
They don't know.
Why would they care?
It's more an interesting thing to keep the industry happy, to be like, oh, no, the BBC, look, they're doing online first. And
is this a case of TV not properly understanding online again, and just kind of realizing it's important and trying to embrace it, but not quite, they haven't quite got
it.
I think the slight problem they have is that the whole industry is in a weird flux point where people are cord cutting, people are deciding they don't want to watch scheduled TV, they're not signing up to Sky or Virgin and having those traditional boxes, they're just signing up for Now TV, watching stuff through iPlayer, but it's still this traditional like database of people who do watch stuff in that way, who do still watch scheduled TV, and they're trying to have to cater for both of them at the same time. Whereas like the beauty of Netflix and Amazon is they have one audience to cater at. They know their audience, how it's going to work. But the broadcasters can't just switch off all their channels and become an on-demand service.
No.
So they're in a very tough position.
I mean, BBC Three did do that, but then a lot of their new shows get repeated on BBC One and BBC Two anyway.
Yeah.
Which talent like, because it reaches a bigger audience or whatever, but
I guess it reaches a different audience as well.
A different audience. It's not a BBC Three show, it's just BBC shows.
But I wish BBC hadn't. I wish they'd just gone, right, this for BBC Three is just going to be digital content. We are going to think how to make content digitally and grow that. And I feel they've panicked slightly, possibly, and gone, let's chuck on BBC Two to get the figures up, because it may not be working right now.
But also, if you look at the content of BBC Three, without going too much into BBC Three today, if you look at what they're doing on iPlayer, it's the same as what they did on TV. It's comedy, sitcoms, dramas, documentaries with Reggie Yates, whatever.
Yeah.
The different content they're making now, which is the short form content, doesn't live on iPlayer. That lives on their YouTube, which I think is a bizarre. Like, why are you not using iPlayer? You're using YouTube.
People aren't quite sure where to find their content.
Oh, it's sort of 5 minutes. Let's not put it on iPlayer. But actually, it should go on iPlayer.
What are the merits of, like, when a commissioner there's a short online series, short form online series. Why would they do that? What are the merits for them?
I think short form content is good, like All Four and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it offers, one, it can then spark off into a proper TV series.
Yeah.
It can highlight new talent, so you find new talent through these.
It builds a relationship with them, yeah.
Exactly.
So it's an amazing way of getting into
business. It's a way for new production companies, you know, digital production companies, new talent potentially, and then they move on to TV. And I think it's sort of testing the water.
Yeah.
And you're creating content for Channel 4, I think it's great. But it's what BBC Three do, which is just creating TV online, which doesn't quite work, but I think.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
Short form and long form content are two different beasts. I don't think they can be looked at in the same way. I think Channel 4 are doing a good job of what they're doing. I think the stuff they're commissioning is interesting and they are trying to do different stuff with it. And those commissions are leading on to other things. So what they're trying to do, I think, is right. I don't think they're quite there yet.
No.
I think they're on the right path. I wish the BBC were a little braver in what they were doing in BBC Three. I wish they'd gone, this is just digital only. But flipping this topic on its head almost, what do you think of the way like Amazon do stuff? So they have a season when they do pilots, and you as the audience can watch all the pilots and decide which you think are the strongest, and they then commission those as long form series.
That's a great idea. I mean, BBC did do that on Channel 4, because BBC used to do their comedy blaps. Oh, no, that's Channel 4. They used to do like a season where they show six comedy pilots, and then one or two of those would make it into a BBC Three series. So they did do that, but they haven't done that for at least the past year.
But yeah, they've kind of gone quiet on the patch.
Channel 4 used to do that as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's that model that Amazon are doing,
which
works really well, but BBC and Channel 4 since moving online just haven't done that, which is
such a clever way of doing it.
It's a really clever way.
You give people real budgets to make real pilots.
Yeah.
And the audience, through data, gets to decide what they want to watch, and then they commission those, and they know they'll probably be sure hits because the audience already said, I like it.
I think it's a really good idea what Amazon are doing.
Yeah.
I think Netflix should do it as well.
Yeah.
What do you think, Paul Karanek said, Facebook and YouTube have created a model for themselves to make money, but unlike TV, they have not created a platform where producers can profit.
That's not true. YouTube Red Originals at VidCon this weekend, they've announced 8 new series.
Yeah.
And then they're starting to do long-form drama. They're doing Step Up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So I think that is true. I think actually they've created an ecosystem where they can properly produce content.
It sounds a bit like scaremongering, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think what YouTube are doing would genuinely worry me as a broadcaster.
Yeah, as well it should. Yeah, absolutely it should. We've actually got a quote on this article from our CEO, our Lord and Saviour, and he said, the danger of not properly embracing non-catch-up TV is that the broadcaster's digital footprint may never be big enough to compete with other digital video platforms, which is a really interesting point. If we accept that TV viewership is going down and more young people are spending, they've done loads of studies, young people spend more time online than they do watching TV.
Yep.
And if they don't embrace it at the moment, or try and start embracing it now, then when those young people get older and they're still online, and then ITV goes, hey, it's us.
Yeah.
And you might be like, I don't care, I've been watching YouTube, I've been watching Netflix, I've been watching Amazon. Do you think that's a legitimate concern? Do you think that's a...
I think, not being a young person myself, I don't know if I can completely comment on this. Yeah, but I'm not that demographic.
Yeah,
I worry that maybe they, whether maybe they see companies like Channel 4 and the BBC as something their parents watch.
Yeah.
Whereas they go to YouTube because that's what they're used to. That's where their friends consume content. It's more sociable. You can comment on stuff. It's a real social platform.
YouTube is to them what TV was to us.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know where. I get what Peter said there. They have to embrace it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really tough to ask, I think.
But to stay current, they've got to, don't they?
They have to do it.
Yeah. It's going to be a big challenge for them. I know Karanek went on to say that ITV aims to make the first episodes of all of its major dramas available via ITV Hub ahead of their linear launch. which apparently has done brilliantly for them.
Yeah, they did it with Marcella and a few others. But again, showing one episode a couple of days early, I don't really see.
Is it?
They're damaging their overnight ratings by doing that.
I wonder if it has an adverse effect on their actual linear ratings when it goes on TV. Or are they as distinct groups as Possibly, like they could be. So different people watching ITV had to watching ITV
maybe
television?
So it could reach new viewers, and that's how they ring in.
Yeah.
I wonder how it's affecting the ad revenue as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they're probably not going to make the same amount of money selling ads on Hub as they are on broadcast. So if they're going to start dropping views through broadcast, is that going to damage them as a business by showing stuff on Hub early and losing those viewers?
So we said earlier that we thought like short form content lives better online, and we can see why Channel 4 and BBC and potentially ITV would want to make short form content online, but then we see YouTube, we'll touch more on it later, want to make long form stuff. Is that as kind of being a little bit regressive then? Are we kind of...
I think YouTube, I mean, we will talk about this later, but I think YouTube, that's the next step for them, is long form content.
Yeah.
Well, they've never done it before, so their audience probably, a lot of them don't watch TV, so it's them trying to be TV.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to be each other, aren't they?
Yeah. Exactly. TV trying to be online trying to be TV. And
I think the worry is that broadcasters may have slightly missed the boat on this. And I do think they need to start embracing the platforms that already exist, like YouTube and Facebook, and start trying to build their brands on those platforms, the same way that BuzzFeed are doing.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed.com isn't their big territory where they're growing socially. So I kind of think the broadcasters should look at it the same way. Why are they not trying to embrace YouTube and build? Because they're clearly making great content. They know how to make great stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. Why are they not trying to invest in those platforms more and grow their brands in that way and pull people in through that rather than trying to create a segregated app and platform to get viewers on, which I think is going to be really tough to pull people over.
I think broadcasters still see online as secondary, and they still see it as it's not worth investing in. It's not worth the time. And which is wrong, really it should be their priority.
It's kind of starting to happen, isn't it?
It's starting to happen, but it's taken years and years and years and years for it to happen.
There's a lot of resistance still in the industry to embrace online and monetize online and find ways it works.
Because the people that are working in TV now, they're not aware of the digital, they're not digitally minded. So it's when those people leave and the new ones come in, that's when you're going to start seeing it. But it could be, like you say, too late.
Go where the viewers are. I think they're trying to create a battle for themselves. They don't necessarily need to do. Why don't they create the amazing content they do on platforms already exist with the audiences and monetize it that way?
Yeah.
They have to do it, don't they?
I think so.
That's the only logical alternative.
I mean, the BBC do it quite well with the worldwide stuff, with Top Gear and BBC Earth. They're doing a great job with that.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're not creating their own, like BBC Three, why don't they try and create a BBC Three YouTube channel? I know they have one, but try and spend some real time money on it and grow that as an audience of original content rather than trying to build it on an iPlayer.
Yeah.
It feels like the BBC Three YouTube channel is a bit, it seems like such an afterthought.
It's too short, let's just stick it on YouTube.
And they just get, they just hire like YouTubers with a bit of a following, you know, hope that they'll follow them to BBC Three's YouTube channel and to mixed success to put it kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm going to push you both for an answer. Should broadcasters bother with online content? Elliot, what should they do?
They should, and I think short form content is a way for them to get into the online world.
Okay.
They should focus on stuff like YouTube.
Yeah.
Build their own platforms on YouTube.
Do you reckon there's a way for, if they did do the focus on YouTube, are there ways for BBC, Channel 4, ITV to monetize that they can get the kind of returns that they're used to?
Yeah. They can get a bigger return, I think.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. If they built a genuine audience on YouTube with serious viewership, the amount of money they could make through product placement, through premium ads, I think would far outstrip what they're probably going to be making on already at the moment.
Sometimes the problem with these huge corporations is that it takes so long to shift, because it's got to go through so many people, doesn't it? So like, if someone goes right at the bottom, like, we should access this digital world more because our viewership's going down year and year and year, TV is not doing as well as it was. And look at online, it's going huge. Look at everyone, so well, they're earning millions and millions of pounds a day. But like to get that all the way up and get people to agree and then to get it all the way, come back down the chain so you actually start doing it, seems to take ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, should broadcasters bother with online content?
Yeah, they have to. They have to bother it because online isn't going to be a differentiation in a few years' time.
Yeah.
In my head, in 5 years' time, Sky won't sell Sky Plus boxes. It will all be pumped through the internet.
Mm.
It will all be on demand.
The lines
The lines are so blurred in that, I think they won't be blurred in 5 years. I think it will be you as a viewer gets to decide what you want to watch, when you want to watch it. And if they don't start finding a space in digital through creating good content, I think one or two of them are going to drop off in a few years' time because they won't be able to keep up.
Yeah. I almost feel like saying no just to be contrary. But I was trying to think of, the whole way through that, I was trying to think of like a counter argument, like why they shouldn't bother with online content, but I can't think of any logical reason why they wouldn't wholeheartedly embrace this and start embracing it.
They just need to not treat it like TV, that's the issue.
Yeah.
I think they use online at the moment to push to TV instead of seeing online as its own entity. So putting the first episode out is great to push to TV, and maybe it does hurt like viewership like that, but maybe you should see it more as its own entity and embrace it as potentially the future.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
We're all agreed.
We're very good at agreeing with each other, I think.
No, we need more contrary contentious subjects. We should have left the EU! So, moving swiftly on, each of us have been tasked with trawling through the media landscape and picking a news story, an article, a video, a film, a song, a computer game, anything really that piques our interest this week. Tom, you're first up. What have you got for us?
So, it's all about Twitter selling NFL ad packages. So, okay. Twitter has the rights to stream 10 NFL games through the platform. They bought the rights to it. It's not exclusive rights.
Right, okay.
But they are going to be broadcasting the games through Twitter.
Yeah.
And they are trying to sell ad packages to advertisers from between $2 million to $8
million.
Blimey. I mean, they need to make money, don't they?
They're struggling to make money. It's really interesting that they're moving into this space. So I've often thought that if I worked at Apple, I would think, why don't you just buy the rights to the NFL? So at least one of the social companies is thinking about doing it. But the problem is they don't have exclusive rights to the games. So they're selling these ad packages for extortionate amounts of money. But traditional advertisers can just buy the same ads through the broadcaster. So basically CBS and NBC, the broadcasts are going through them.
Yeah.
So traditional advertisers can still advertise on those broadcasters for much lower rates, but still get the same.
Is it working? Are they selling ads at that price?
They started to. I think apparently a lot of the big guys have said, no, this is a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, that's...
So the only way they're trying to supplement it is things like sponsored tweets around it and pre-roll and stuff, but it's still...
But Sid, is that worth it over what they get on TV? Probably not.
I don't know.
Is there any precedent for... Have Twitter shown live sporting events before?
No, they've had a strong relationship with the NFL for quite a while, but they've never shown real life games like this.
And is it US only or is it across the world?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it might be US only.
But why would you do that? Because that's such a shot in the dark. That may or may not work. You think it would work. You think you'd get a lot of people to do it. But like, I'm sure, and NFL is the most popular sport in America, I'm sure it does very, very well on TV. So if you can look at all these seasons, been like, 50 million people watched New York Giants versus the Steelers or something.
Yeah.
Whereas a Twitter, you'd be like, we might be able to get this. We genuinely don't know, but you've got to pay this extortionate amount.
I don't think this is the right way of doing it, but I do think it's interesting because I've always thought that if Apple decided to buy all the football rights in the world, which they could easily afford to do, and you could only watch them if you bought an Apple TV. If you bought an Apple TV, it was free to watch football, but there's only way you can watch football is through Apple TV.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do that?
I've always wondered why, this is a bit off topic, why there isn't like a sports subscription service online. So like, why isn't there somewhere that like, because obviously Premier League rights go for extortionate money, right? Like, so Sky and BT are fighting it out, billions and billions of pounds, Premier League, most watched league in the world. Why isn't there some kind of hub, some kind of Netflix-y style hub where you go on and you watch Man United Liverpool, Chelsea Newcastle, and then they can buy the Spanish rights and you just go there and you can get everyone maybe it's because sport rights are really complicated.
Sport rights, really cool. I guess Sky Sports are trying to do that with Now TV because you can buy individual packages to watch
certain games,
like a day of games and stuff. Yeah. So they're kind of trying to do it, but it's
if there was
really
like
expensive.
One online central hub, like I know BT played the Champions League final through YouTube this year and stuff like that, so they're starting to kind of do it.
Yeah.
But if someone said $5.99, you have access to all the Premier League
and one of the big boys could do it. Google could do it. Apple could do it.
I think I'd pay for that. Sky Sports is extortionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd happily do that. Stream it for your TV. Maybe there's got to be a reason why I can't be the first person to afford that.
It's purely financial. It's so expensive to buy all the rights.
Yeah, Sky spent a lot of money in BT.
But is it?
But they don't have as much money as an Apple or a Google.
Well, no.
Yeah.
But do they want to buy all the rights? Maybe they want to spend their money elsewhere.
I think it'd be a really clever move. mean, personally. I mean, they have so much money.
Tim Cook is a regular listener.
He's a regular listener. Hi, Tim.
If you're listening, Tim, you can have that one for free.
We're happy to, happy to help.
Okay, Elliot, what's your story?
So we touched on it earlier. So it's YouTube moving into original, sort of big budget, long form content. So the first one, I've announced it for quite a few, but the first sort of scripted original is Step Up. Do you remember that film?
Yeah.
Channing Tatum.
God bless Channing Tatum.
God bless.
So it's an adaptation of that, which is one of the first scripted original on YouTube. There's also like a documentary with Dan and Phil, a vlogumentary is a new term.
Vlogumentary.
Vlogumentary by Morgan Spurlock. Who I like, so that could be alright.
I don't think I've watched anything other than Supersize Me.
We have seen that.
Yeah.
So. I like that.
Interesting, yeah.
So I guess we're sort of asking, should broadcasters be worried about YouTube moving into long form content, and is that the right program to launch with?
I would be petrified. I think it's perfect, because Channing and his wife are also exec producing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's perfect for the audience, isn't it? It's going to aim at younger kids, good looking people dancing. It's going to be part of the $9.99 YouTube Red package.
Yeah.
If I was a broadcaster, I would be absolutely petrified of this, because the platform has the audience.
Has
already.
The audience in their hands. So they're just, it's what we said earlier, why they wanted to become TV is because they've got the audience there.
They're not trying to be TV, they're just trying to make
long form content.
Yeah, trying to make long form content for an audience that already exists. Yeah. They have the huge social network of people. Yeah. I think it's very, very clever.
What else do you get on YouTube Red? Has it launched yet?
Can you do it? In the US,
it has.
Oh, it's always.
That's £7 a month.
Start in the US. Why can't they just do it?
Apparently, it's going to be over here back end of this year.
Yeah.
Right, sure. Okay. So, what else do you get?
So, you get all the original stuff.
Okay.
It's ad free, so no more ads. You can save stuff offline on your phone, so you can watch stuff with no internet connection. Also, they don't really advertise it, but you also get Google Play Music for free as part of it. So, you get their Spotify equivalent. Mm. So, for the same price as Spotify, you get music, content, there's going to be all this original content, it's ad-free. I think they're playing the game pretty well at the moment.
Before you said the Google Play thing, I was like, I can live with adverts.
On YouTube, totally.
Because you're so used to it now. Obviously, when they first started rolling out adverts properly, it was quite annoying.
But it's also, you get background play, so you can turn your phone off and still listen to YouTube.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah, with the music.
Because I listen to podcasts quite a lot that people have put on YouTube, as soon as you turn your phone off or it automatically turns off, then it cuts away, and it's incredibly frustrating.
I like that YouTube aren't just doing, I mean, they are doing sort of the vlogumentary and Dan and Phil and all of that sort of stuff, which you expect them to do, but I like that they're doing Step Up, which isn't what you'd expect YouTube to do. Like, I like them not just doing the traditional, which is what TV does, like, oh, how do we get an online audience, let's just book Zoello and let's get
let's get
Marcus Butler and MasterChef, when the MasterChef audience are like, who the hell is this guy?
When I was filming over in the studio space in LA last year, there's a reason why they built their biggest studio in Hollywood. Like, you can read between the lines with them. They're clearly going after that studio space.
Of course they are.
I think it's the first of many good commissions from them.
I must admit, a Step Up TV series. So it's going to be 10 episodes of dancing.
I didn't watch the film, but yeah, pretty much.
If Channing's actually in an episode, I'll probably watch it.
Oh, he will be, right? Turn up.
You'd hope so.
He'll do a cameo.
Goon his head around the corner at some point.
Hello. Pete, what's your story?
Thanks for asking, mate.
No worries.
Mine is a story. Unilever vows to drop sexist stereotypes on its ad. So they did some research. They make Sunsilk, Dove, Link sort of stuff. And the research suggests that just 2% of ads show intelligent women. I don't know how they've defined intelligent in there. But it's 2016. Is that?
I'd love to know how they've worked that stat out.
It's odd, isn't it? Like, they must have criteria where they're like, does she say this? Does she do this?
Yeah.
Is she in a place of authority? They also said that just 3% of the ads feature women in managerial, leadership, or professional roles. There are disproportionately represented in domestic roles.
It's bonkers in 2016 that this is still.
It's absolutely
true.
Insane, isn't it? Yeah. But then, because I kind of read this at first, I was like, is that true? And then, you know, when you start watching adverts a bit more, and you're like, yeah, they're always just like around the breakfast table, just kind of pouring cereal.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And then you've got the Beachbody Ready advert, which got pulled.
It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? They said the research found that 40% of women surveyed said that they do not identify at all with the women they see in advertising. And considering advertising is quite progressive, like they try and, and so that's what they need to do is relate to people.
Yeah.
40% of them do not identify at all with what they see.
And considering women tend to have, well, I know they have all the power in the household, especially when it comes to spending money as a family.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that ad companies are still having that sort of stereotype and demeaning women in that way through advertising. Even if it's subliminal and subconscious, it's still obviously happening.
If adverts should do anything, it's relate to people.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of it. Hugely shocking that like it is that kind of... It's ridiculous. You know, I always think of it, you know when you see like, you know, like a student newspaper or something like that would always try and relate to students and you always be like, it's so shocking that like students don't know how to relate to other students. Yeah. It was always really weird cliches about being a student, like, oh, I bet you don't wash, or stuff like that. I think like advertising like seems a lot like that. It's like, you're a normal person. You're probably like advertising to people that you know and you, you've got no way of doing it.
Yeah. It's probably because a lot of time the people making the adverts aren't the demographic they're trying to hit.
Yes. That's very true. I mean, it's not still the Mad Men days. You think they'd be better at it. But
at least they're addressing it. At least they
absolutely
understand there's a problem with it and they're trying to do something about it.
Absolutely. It's good that they did research to get into it and it benefits everyone in the long term. They'll create better adverts, they'll have more representatives.
I look forward to seeing a lot of empowered women in advertising. I feel like the last episode of Game of Thrones, which was...
I've still not watched an episode of Game of Thrones.
Neither have I.
It seems like too much.
This is the first time I've been outnumbered as a...
That is bonkers.
We've been outnumbered.
You blog about telly. You haven't watched the TV programme.
There's more than just that one TV programme.
It is the definitive
The fantasy program. And that it's not for me.
Thought that too, but it's pretty good.
I tried watching the first episode and just can't get into it.
You've got to stick with it.
I feel...
I'm all right.
Like...
Every conversation is up talking about Game of Thrones eventually, isn't it?
It's so... Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's so... Is it the sixth season now?
Yeah.
No, it's quite intimidating. And there's six seasons ahead of you and you're just like... Oh, it's a whole thing.
I watched three seasons over 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
So I was like, because my fiancé had watched all of it. I was like, I want to catch up before season six happens. Yeah, so I had to get through three seasons in 2 weeks. It was a fun 2 weeks. Didn't do a lot else.
Saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, that sadly marks the end of this week's episode. Please subscribe, leave positive reviews and follow us on Twitter at MediaversePod and like us on Facebook. And listen back to old episodes if you haven't already. Get that viewership up.
Couple up there.
Yeah. Also, we went for our Acast analytics again this week. We've got listens from New York, so you can only assume that is Jay-Z.
It's
got
to be.
Joining Tim Cook and Barack Obama as regular listeners.
Strong list from us.
Shout out, chaps. Yeah. You're welcome to come on the podcast anytime you like. Also, we're going to start having guests on the Mediaverse podcast, so let us know who you'd like to see, and we'll see what we can do.
If you want to come on the podcast, give us a tweet.
Yep,
just turn up, if you're willing.
We'll hand you a microphone. Friday afternoon / Monday morning. Just turn up before we get in it.
Cool, okay. Thank you for listening. Bye.